1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Vice presidential nominee Tim Walz with a message to Republicans who want to restrict access to abortion.
In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make. Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
The Minnesota governor and Vice President Harris appearing for the first time as running mates at a rally in Philadelphia. Nine people died, including several young children, when an overloaded SUV went out of control on a rural South Florida road and landed upside down in a canal. Hamas has named Yahya Sinwar its new leader. The group's top official in Gaza was behind the October 7th attacks on Israel. A man accused of threatening a mass casualty event at last year's Army-Navy football game is in federal custody in Arizona. This is ABC News. Stocks bounced back on Wall Street, with the S&P and NASDAQ each gaining more than 1% after a brutal three-day losing streak.
While we've seen some volatility, we admit that, we have seen that, our broader economy remains resilient.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says the administration is monitoring the global economy. President Biden spent a second day on the phone with leaders in the Middle East.
With concerns growing that Iran will launch a retaliatory attack against Israel, Biden is calling on leaders in the region to help dial back tensions. According to the White House, Biden spoke Tuesday with the Emir of Qatar, as well as Egypt's president, after talking to King Abdullah in Jordan a day before. A White House spokesman said Biden wanted to discuss ways to, quote, de-escalate regional tension and to bring the ceasefire and hostage rescue deal to a conclusion. Ann Flaherty, ABC News, Washington.
Portion of the airport in Frankfurt, Germany, lost power for several hours overnight because a dormouse short-circuited a substation. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Communities around Wisconsin are getting money to reach out to people who need lead pipes removed. $900 million in loan money comes from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Communities can start applying at the end of the month. More than 37,000 lead service lines have been replaced or shut off in Wisconsin since 2018. Expect to hear more about reproductive rights from Vice President Kamala Harris as she campaigns for president. Marquette poll director Charles Franklin says it's the number one issue for Democratic voters.
But independents rank it quite a ways down. And so I think it's possible that she may emphasize that issue more than Biden was doing. Whether that brings any independents over is an open question.
Franklin speaking with Wisconsin Eye. Harris and Republican running mate J.D. Vance will both campaign in Eau Claire tomorrow. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
It's the Brewers and the Braves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the crew in Atlanta to open a three-game series against the Braves. Milwaukee with a six-game lead in the NL Central, thanks to the Mets beating the Cards 6-0. Cubs losing at home to the Twins 3-0. NFL, the Packers have practice this week, getting ready to play the Browns in Cleveland Saturday night. Tight end Tucker Kraft taken off the PUP list after injuring his pectoral muscle in the weight room last April. Kraft thinks he can help out running back Josh Jacobs.
I think the run game, I got some really strong hands. I think I could be at the point of attack in a kick out, throw me in motion to take on larger guys in the run game.
In New York, the Giants and the Lions joint practice turned into a brawl. The Packers have a joint practice next week in Denver. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cool tonight, low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, chance of showers by the late afternoon and evening, a high near 80. Early showers Thursday, then clearing low 70s. Lots of sunshine Friday, cool for this time of year, a high in the mid-70s. It's 71 right
now. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we will be live at the Kamala Harris-Tim Walz rally in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. A very special show live on location. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by our supporters on Patreon at Native Roots Radio Network.
Hey, I woke up, I do my early morning walk, and my phone started blowing up about 7:30, and I also saw the night before that the Secret Service were driving into Governor Walz's house, which is down the block from me on River Boulevard now, because he's staying not at the mansion on Summit, but he's at the University of Minnesota's president's house, and that's where we went and hung out with him, Haley, when we were doing the Christmas media party with the governor and lieutenant governor.
Right. Yeah. Do you want to tell everyone the big news?
Well, I think they already know.
Oh, for listeners? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think they already know that my daughter had twins. No, I'm just kidding. But that's one of the things, too. But also, you know, our friend Governor Walz is a VP candidate with VP Harris, and we are really excited. And now, you know, we probably won't have the governor on again in a long time because he'll be too big for our little station. But we've had the governor of Minnesota on many times, and I know, Haley, you were really impressed that he knew my first and last name and shook my hand when he first started working with us.
Right.
All right. Hey, we have our friend Ruth Buffalo with the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center and our weekly guest here. And we're just really excited here. It's like, I don't know, do we celebrate Christmas? It's like Christmas again here after first Harris and now our friend Governor Walz. And that means a lot of different ramifications here in Minnesota. Welcome, Ruth.
Yes, Dosha. Hello, and Madzigadads. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so where were you when you heard the news?
I was here at work. But yeah, I had been following things, and I think it's pretty exciting to see. But yes, I was at my desk. My phone also went off and also sent some text messages, and then saw official announcement. So pretty neat.
Definitely. And then possibilities are unbelievable here. We have the possibility, if Vice President Harris is elected president, then we have an opening that will be quickly picked up by the lieutenant governor to become a governor of the state of Minnesota. There's just a lot of moving parts here. I'm like getting dizzy.
For sure. I mean, that's super exciting. And that's what many of us sort of picked up on when we had heard about, you know, the different options and that Governor Tim Walz's name was thrown in the hat. And then when we were, you know, when you kind of connect the dots and be like, well, you know, oh, what, yeah. You know, so it's exciting for sure. I mean, because that, so, and I think it was a very good choice and very good strategically because the Native vote is huge. And we know, you know, so people, you know, connecting the dots and seeing that Lieutenant Peggy Flanagan could move into the governorship position is huge. And that'll garner, you know, so yes, very strategic, good on them to do that, especially in these times.
Yeah, good medicine, and really excited. Just, you know, Governor Walz was a high school teacher like myself, but I didn't make it that far. I don't think I made sergeant in the police patrol, and that's about as far as I got politically. And then he was our congressman for 12 years and then our governor. And what was exciting, Ruth, is that, you know, with the lieutenant governor and governor has been a partnership here in Minnesota, unlike any, you know, years ago, I couldn't even tell you who the lieutenant governor was. And our lieutenant governor is very visible and very a part of decision making. And it has been a partnership. And they opened up at the Indian Center and announced Walz's candidacy along with, at the time, Representative Flanagan. And the first place they went was the Indian Center in Minneapolis. It's just amazing.
That is really amazing to do that. You know, it's just, it's amazing. I mean, I think of some of the clips and videos that have been circulating through social media regarding, you know, representation and how important that is to see someone, you know, in a decision-making space that looks like you or looks like someone you love. You know, I think Christina Haswood is the first Indigenous woman running who could potentially win a state Senate seat after today's primary in Lawrence, Kansas. And she's a TikTok star. I think she was, you know, featured in the New York Times, but young woman from Lawrence, Kansas, Haskell Indian Nations alumni, but she has a really catchy photo or video clip that I saw recently. But that's what came to mind when you shared that the governor, or you know, before Governor Tim Walz became the governor of Minnesota, how he went to the Indian Center with then Representative Peggy Flanagan. That's super cool to see. To see the Native community embraced in that way is huge. I remember him coming to North Dakota. He came to Fargo last fall to one of our events that we held there because I was pretty active in our state party, and I'm also finishing out a term there, an obligation, a four-year term. As North Dakota's DNC committee woman, so juggling a lot, but also cognizant of my different roles and wanted to be respectful of those too. But yeah, it was a good experience to see things at a national level, being the DNC committee woman for North Dakota these past 4 years, and seeing what a strong powerhouse that is here in Minnesota, you know, always making reference to, you know, the Wellstones and everything there. And I remember, gosh, back in the day, I think after I ran for office, statewide office in 2016, I ran for insurance commissioner and still felt motivated to try to find ways to get involved because it was so refreshing to like meet so many people across the state of North Dakota who never spoke to a candidate before or had anybody really give them the attention. And so I was super motivated, even though I didn't win that election. And I was doing some research online and came across the Wellstone Action. Back then they were hosting, I think it was called Roots Camp, the Unconference it was called, and it was in DC and it was at the end of November. So I went out there and came across Peggy, and she invited me to sit on a panel with her. And so she's just been amazing. I remember first meeting her when I was with the Native Nations Rebuilders program through the Bush Foundation, and she came in and led a session on community organizing. And that was when I was at United Tribes Technical College. So super cool to see her progress throughout her political career, and definitely support her 100%.
All right. Hey, well, we're over ecstatic here. We're our minds are blown, but let's swing back when we come back with Ruth Buffalo and talk about what's happening at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio. Ho-wa.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered Indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. Whether it's cracks in your existing sidewalks, steps, chimney restoration, or a whole new project, you can trust our team to ensure satisfaction through detailed planning and precision. Native Concrete and Masonry is a Native American-owned business, and we have worked with our clients throughout the Twin Cities metro area. We work closely with our clients to accomplish our initiatives. Learn more at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
You want a fast way to save some money? It's easy with Rudy Luther Toyota. Start with the Luther Advantage card. With every new and used vehicle purchased, you'll get 3 years of 10 cents off per gallon of gas at Holiday Station stores, as well as $6 off the Works car washes. That's a lot of savings, especially when you tag that with the incredibly fuel-efficient Toyota hybrid models. Buying at Rudy Luther Toyota makes you a smart shopper. Find out all the details about the Luther Advantage card, including all the ways you can save, by visiting Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com and give Chuck a call at 612-597-0421.
Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo, President and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center here in Minnesota. And let's switch gears here, and we're really excited to talk about what's happening. You know, what's new at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? We saw today that some went to the Como Zoo.
Yes, our Family Services ICWA Kinship Care Workers host a monthly caregiver support group, and decided to have an outing, you know, off-site, and so it worked out good. We had to reschedule there or kind of adjust to the rainy day there a couple days ago, but yeah, it's going good, and lots of things kind of cooking. You know, we have a women's luncheon that'll be this Thursday. We want to host those bi-weekly, just a time to come together and bring food and conversation and laughter. And then we are hosting a ceremony, finishing a ceremony from with an elder woman from Canada. And so, yeah, we have Sweat Lodge at the end of the month, the co-ed sweat, August 30th in St. Paul. And we realize that not everybody uses Facebook or Instagram, so we're trying to make sure we have all of our updates on the website. We also have new board members, so those updates are on the website as well. Our monthly community meeting will be August 20th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And we're also gearing up for our 40th anniversary of MIWRC, which is September 16th. We also have a benefit concert that will be either the weekend prior to September 16th or after September 16th. And it'll be in the shared parking lot on the west side of the building, the shared parking lot with Indigenous Peoples Task Force.
Wow, there's a lot going on. Wow, yeah. Who's going to be in the concert?
What's that?
Who's going to be playing in the concert?
Oh, that is Mbaji is taking the lead on it. She's our traditional birthing director, but she has a cool lineup. I also think Esther Humphrey may be coming down too. Love her voice.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so, yeah, she came out to Bismarck one time when Auntie Deb was in town and things. And so that was a beautiful event. So, yeah, we have a lot of exciting things happening. And I know they're working on a list of performers and artists locally. So it'll be a good time. We also want to still circle back and see if we can host like a community bingo event or Leah, she has some famous wild rice egg rolls and tacos. So we're trying to get her to, you know, get that on the schedule.
Well, I want to make sure that I make it there when you do the, what was it? The cake walk you did.
Oh yeah. That was fun.
We were talking.
Yeah, we were talking about musical chairs too, but they said that gets too competitive. And yeah. The Metro Urban Indian Directors Group, they said they used to host kickball in the past, but it got too competitive too. But we have our amazing staff are tabling at the Little Earths event that's happening right now. There's barbecue and food and booths. It's the annual event that takes place. Is it Take Back the Night event? Mm-hmm. And so that Little Earth right now. So our staff are there at the booths.
That's awesome. Wow, I just feel like there's so much going on with Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we always talk about all the great services, but it sounds like there's a lot of fun too going on. And if you got them, you know, the old saying is if you got them laughing and having fun, you have their attention. So that's just really awesome.
We have an amazing staff and amazing community, and it's a good time, and they're doing so much, and we are, you know, going after different funding, traditional funding streams and other funding streams too. So just working hard diligently to make sure we keep the doors open seven generations ahead and beyond. So with that, I'll put a plug in for our donate tab, miwrc.org/donate. Please donate if you can. Help us continue to help others. But yes, our staff do amazing work day in and day out. And
it's just great to have you in community and hear these updates. And it's just an organization that's been around that long. Coming up on 40 years. Geez, I mean, I was 23 when that started, so that's amazing. Either that, it's amazing I'm that old, but it's also amazing that the organization's been around that long, and that really tells a story right there.
It really does. I mean, I think of how many people the organization, the agency has impacted locally, regionally, nationally. Many people have shared with us that, you know, in everybody's family in one way or another has connections to this place, whether their parents, their mom used to work here, whether they attended, whether they were a child here attending childcare or daycare, or just a lot of stories that people share. And we're hoping to bring everybody together so that they could can share those stories all the time, but also a special platform to share all of those amazing, beautiful stories on September 16th, our 40th anniversary. I'll share a quick story real quick.
My heart would stop.
When I worked at DIW years ago at the Youth Leadership Development Program, I remember we gave one of my friend's relatives a ride over to MIWRC, and wasn't really familiar at the time. And I remember this lady came out and greeted my friend's relative that we gave a ride to. But she didn't stop there. She came over, the MIWRC worker, greeted the relative, and then came over to my car and introduced herself and was like, "Oh, how are you guys doing?" And, you know, it was just really personable and made a connection with us, and very, very warm and loving. This beautiful, tall Native woman, big smile, brown skin, just looked like an auntie. And here it turns out years later, we got to work together at United Tribes Technical College, and we're from the same tribal nation. And then our paths crossed years later too, with different kind of work, you know, and supporting the community. So pretty cool story. I always hold near to my heart.
Very cool story. And, you know, our community is small and strong, and that's a great story. Well, one of the things that I have here in my notes, and there's women's luncheon dates coming up. Can you talk about that for August?
Yes, August 8th and the 22nd for this month, but we want to do that twice a month moving forward. And it's a time for women to come together, share a meal. Eventually, we want to feature a guest speaker, but it's just a time to come together and support one another. So the first women's luncheon will be hosted or held this Thursday, August 8th, in the community room. I believe starting at 11:30.
Oh, okay. So, wow, Haley can stop at Four Sisters and walk on over there and hang out.
Yeah, Thursdays are going to be fun. Extra fun now.
Yeah, for sure. And then the sweat. I know we were going to have a women's sweat last week, but it got too hot. The weather was really hot. And so we switched gears and hosted a ceremony in-house here at MIWRC. These ceremonies are open to the public. For more information, please reach out to Umbaji or George. And the sweat lodge, the sweat that's going to be hosted at the end of this month, August 30th, that is a co-ed sweat. But yes, please reach out to Umbaji and George. So yeah, it's pretty amazing. You know, when I first got here at MIWRC March 4th, that first week I was really embraced with so many ceremonies, you know, that was a little, no offense, Abe, but that was a little surprising being in the urban setting for me. I was like, wow, this is amazing. Cedar ceremony. And then later that week, women's sweat, you know, pretty thankful.
Yeah, it is amazing. We are blessed to live in a really nice community here where I heard up to 78,000 natives live in the Twin Cities just recently. And over 150 different nations are here in the Twin Cities. And that's exciting. And the work that Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center does for our people is just amazing.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger, Vice Presidential nominee Tim Walz, with a message to Republicans who want to restrict access to abortion.
In Minnesota, we respect our neighbors and their personal choices that they make.
Even if we wouldn't make the same choice for ourselves, there's a golden rule. Mind your own damn business.
The Minnesota governor and Vice President Harris appearing for the first time as running mates at a rally in Philadelphia. 9 people died, including several young children, when an overloaded SUV went out of control on a rural South Florida road and landed upside down in a canal. Hamas has named Yahya Sinwar its new leader. The group's top official in Gaza was behind the October 7th attacks on Israel. A man accused of threatening a mass casualty event at last year's Army-Navy football game is in federal custody in Arizona. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Working people in Wisconsin need more opportunities to boost their income. That's according to Robert Craig of Wisconsin Citizen Action. He recommends more access to job training programs.
A lot of the workforce training programs we have are helpful to a number of people, but they don't move the inequality numbers because they don't reach enough people.
A new University of Wisconsin study finds income inequality is growing in Wisconsin, although the problem is worse in other states. Wisconsin wildlife officials are out with their fall hunting forecast for 2024. The archery and bow deer season for deer is being extended in some areas. The Department of Natural Resources expects good harvest numbers for turkeys, pheasants, grouse, and bear. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Both Timothy Chalamet and Bob Dylan have their share of fans. But if the fan bases cross paths, then the following news is a really big win. Variety reports that the Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, in which Chalamet stars, has just been given a release date. The film is set in New York City, where a 19-year-old Dylan arrives in Greenwich Village before taking the folk world by storm. A Complete Unknown will hit theaters December 25th. Yep, that's Christmas Day, and it will have to compete for box office dollars with Nosferatu, went to one of the thousands of Skarsgård. Kevin Costner's Horizon, An American Saga Part 2, will premiere at the 2024 Venice Film Festival, just a few weeks after it was announced that the film's theatrical release was pulled. Usually, studios and filmmakers use festivals to build momentum toward a theatrical release, but this project is going in reverse. Horizon Part 2 comes in just under 3 hours. Hopefully, there will be time left over at the Venice Film Festival to screen other films. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cool tonight, low in the mid-50s. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, chance of showers by the late afternoon and evening, a high near 80. Early showers Thursday, then clearing low 70s. Lots of sunshine Friday, cool for this time of year, a high in the mid-70s. It's 67 right
now. Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
With a little financial support from the Wisconsin CHAIRS Child Care Subsidy Program, more is possible. You can focus on work, continue your education, and take advantage of opportunities that make your family stronger. Best of all, you can give your child a great start with the high-quality care they deserve. What's your more? Learn how you can get help paying for childcare by visiting wishares.wi.gov today.
Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday morning, we get set for Vice President Kamala Harris to rally in the Chippewa Valley now that she has a running mate, and we'll get Todd Alba's take on it as well.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are so happy to have Arvina Martin on. And Arvina, I want to know a little bit about your background, and then I want to talk about the Olympics that are happening right now. We have a lot of representation there. And yes, Haley, I do read the script, but, you know, I have drain damage. I'm old elder. Oh, thank you. So tell us a little bit how you started, Arvina.
I mean, the home that I grew up in was always politically active. My dad was in fact a Republican, a sane Republican, and not one of the Trumper kind. excuse me. And so it was always, and my mom actually served the Ho-Chunk Nation as a legislator as well. So, you know, that kind of the idea of public service and working in the public for the public has always been something that I guess I kind of thought I would do. And I, you know, worked after college, and I had moved to Arizona with my now ex-husband. And when I moved back, when we were splitting, I was like, you know, I need to find a job. I would like it to be in a field that I like. And I started actually in 2010 or 2011. I can't remember. It must have been 2010 as a communications intern with the state party. But when that happened, I was only a communications intern for a couple of months when Scott Walker dropped the former governor, Scott Walker, dropped the bomb eliminating, public bargaining, collective bargaining. And so, yeah, so it turned into something again. It turned into something different, and the party wanted to have a Native outreach director, and so I got that. I started in 2011 on the Walker gubernatorial campaign, and that was really where everything started. And started getting involved. It was hilarious. I remember that campaign. You know, my parents being very active in the Wisconsin Native community, you know, when people would meet me, they'd say, "Oh, you're Buck Martin's daughter." I'm like, "Yeah." "And you work for the Democrats?" And I'm like, "Yep, I do." So it was a nice icebreaker for people that knew my folks. So, yeah. Oh,
that's a great story. And I remember
One more. Yes. I just thought of the other one I was going to mention. When I was a little kid, it must have been 84. So I was like 3 or 4 years old at the time, or 4 years old. Jesse Jackson was running for president, and my dad wrote for a local paper that served communities of color here in Madison. And he got to interview Jesse Jackson, and I got to be the small child that was his photo op. And so I got he held me, and I was like, "Yay!" And I apparently loved Jesse Jackson as a 4 year old, and he, you know, would sit and listen to the tape of my dad's interview with him because I just loved the way he spoke.
I am someone. I remember that when he was running.
He just has such a, you know, melodious, you know, his the way he speaks is almost musical. And I loved that as a kid. And when I went to the DNC, I was a delegate in 2012, and he was the first person I saw when I got off the bus, and I almost like had a stroke. I was so excited.
That's awesome. Well, we have his daughter on AM 950 who does the morning show here in the Twin Cities. Yeah. From 7 to 8. Yeah. Sunita Jackson. And yeah, we're really proud of her. Let's jump. That's a great story. And that's awesome. Hey, let's jump into the Olympics.
I've been a nerd the whole time.
Been a nerd. Oh,
I've been a nerd this my whole life.
Yeah, I love politics too. But, you know, from the 60s and 70s when things were upside down in a lot of ways, and with, you know, remembering at least Bobby Kennedy. I was too young to remember John F. Kennedy, but that 1968. And just to back up real quick here is that, you know, the Chicago convention for the DNC is happening. And when Kamala was being endorsed by Joe,
I was really worried that we were going to have another 1968, and that is not even close to the fact that everyone jumped aboard and there's no dissension amongst the ranks. And I'm just excited. I think that's part of why I'm kind of skipping and have a jump in my step too, because I've really listened to a lot of politics now in the last 15, 20 years and really gotten into it with pipelines and things like that and wolves and just being native. Let's talk a little bit about, we have a history of Olympians, and I know Billy Mills is still alive, and his race was amazing in 1964, and he's in Paris right now, but you know, one of the, was quoted as the greatest athlete in the first half of the 20th century, Jim Thorpe. And he was Bo Jackson before Bo Jackson was around. He played professional in baseball, football. He was the first NFL commissioner, and all these great things that as time goes on, people forget. But we don't hear in Indian country. I mean, he won those Olympic medals on and on.
What one of the hills that I will always die on is that Jim Thorpe was the greatest athlete of the 20th century. I mean, you just listed all of the sports that he was good at. Basically, if he tried a sport, he was the best at it. He was just that good. Competing, you know, racism made it so someone threw his shoes away and he had to find shoes in the garbage. And he still won a gold medal. And I mean, think about Michael Jordan, who everybody was like, oh yeah, he's the best athlete of the 20th century. Do you remember when he tried to play baseball? He was great at basketball and like not necessarily like that bad at baseball. Like, you know, he was still better than a lot of people, but he wasn't.
He never made it to the majors. And what was always struck me is when he had the baseball, Chicago baseball uniform on, he looked like a little kid.
And you'd never say that about Jim Thorpe. He just dominated it at everything he tried. And I ordered a t-shirt from the NTBS new line about athletes. I ordered one of the Bright Path t-shirts that I plan on wearing at the convention. Yes, I'm putting together my wardrobe already 2 weeks ahead of time, but I want to represent. And Jim Thorpe is one of those people that we need to represent, you know.
Absolutely.
He's just fabulous. And I you know, when he competed with his two different shoes, one that was too big and one that was like too small, he had two different size socks. And when I skate roller derby, I wear one long sock and one short sock in honor of Jim Thorpe. Thinking about his journey and things that he did and the barriers that he broke down.
Yeah, well, whenever you see a different shoes and the number 1912, because that was the year of the Olympics, that's what it represents.
And, you know, we've got a couple in the Olympics now. There's a few native Hawaiians that are representing Team USA. Haley and I were talking about it beforehand, I believe, in surfing and in like beach volleyball. So hooray for our Kanaka Maoli brothers and sisters. Like, that's awesome. I know that there's a native swimmer from, I think it's called the Kenai tribe in Canada. So as a former swimmer, having a native swimmer, even if they're Canadian and not American, is really exciting to me as well.
Yeah. And good reason to watch the Olympics. And I can't wait until there's a real good, movie on. I know there have been over the years Jim Thorpe movies that are kind of corny, and also Billy Mills movies. I think Robbie Benson played him in the 80s.
I actually remember seeing that movie when I was little about Billy Mills. And the one thing I remember from that movie was a quote where he was writing a letter to his family back home. And he said that he felt so busy. He felt like a fancy dancer with one leg tied behind his back. So I still remember that part.
That's hilarious. And it's hilarious what you do remember. Oh, Arvina, you know, I'm going to let you in the next 2-3 minutes here just spitball about your Emerge Wisconsin here and how we can support you, especially it's a year-round thing where we want to get women involved in politics. And we have to just talk about it every time because it's so, so important. It's 51% of the population here is women.
Yeah, well, and you were talking earlier about feeling more engaged in politics and seeing your spot in it. And we're finding Native people finding that more often. And I would love to get more Native women and more non-binary folks that feel comfortable in female-centered spaces. We also need that representation for our Two-Spirit family. And we will be opening up our applications on Labor Day for our class of 2025. I've already been talking to several really amazing Native women leaders that I hope will join us. We have 2 Native women in our current class, and I'm hoping next year we get 3, because we had 1 in my first class. So just keep building that. You know, the work that electeds do, I mean, it could be such a boon to tribal communities. And having people on that side of the equation that understand what tribal sovereignty means and understand that working with tribes and tribal governments is the same as working with comparable to working with county governments, state governments, and, you know, across different governmental bodies, and treating, you know, Native electeds with the same respect that they treat their peers, because they are peers. Right. And, you know, I'm just really excited to see, and I'm hoping that, you know, the excitement from this election helps us, and we can get some more Native people, Native men, women, and non-binary folks on ballots on, you know, spring elections next year, you know, running for school board, running for, you know, your town council, etc., county boards, you know, let's get more of us in there.
Absolutely. And I got my Kamala doll here, my action figure here. And so thank you so much, Arvina. We just enjoy having you on here. And yes, you are. I hope Representative Heather Keeler's not listening, but one of the best guest hosts we have here on Native Roots Radio. We really appreciate you. And we got to get both of you guys together and maybe have a guest off.
Absolutely. Or a collaboration.
Perfect. That's better. Hey, thanks again, Big Teeny Gigi. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Honey Chuck Choe.
Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break with Bob Blake from Red Lake. Ho-wah.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Bonjour. Hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers, or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Hi, I'm Chuck Manette, owner of Native Concrete and Masonry. With concrete and masonry adding substantial value to your home, it's always a great idea to repair your sidewalks or just add a beautiful new patio. Cracks or heaving in your sidewalks due to tree roots can be dangerous. Native Concrete and Masonry has helped clients across the metro to make their outdoor space safer and helped increase the value to their homes. For patios, sidewalks, driveways, or garage slabs, go to nativeconcretemasonry.com.
You may have seen a certain truck in videos being shared on social media. How about the truth? I have yet to see any video of that truck outperforming the Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I've driven Sienna since 2006. They handle the highways great, handle back roads, and handle 3 inches of snow a lot easier than the so-called super truck. Plus, my Sienna Hybrid is super fuel efficient, tows great, has enough room for tons of gear, and doesn't look like it was drawn by a six-year-old. Sienna wins! Test drive the top of its class Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh.
Hey, we're here with our friend Bob Lake from Red Lake. You guys have to say that real quick once. And then also Solar Bear with the Solar News. And before we get going, Bob, I want to congratulate you on another award. I feel like I'm every time you get an award, I feel like I got an award. So congratulations.
Yeah, that was from the World Resources Institute and the Basel's Earth Fund around the electrification of, you know, the EV charging network. And, you know, they mentioned the training of the Returning Citizens Initiative with the inmates on solar installations in the prison system. And they were just talking about all this stuff. And I was like, you know, it's hard to write, Robert, because the seven grandfather the seven grandfather teachings and everything. It's like, you got to have humility and you can't be bragging, right. You know, it's like, it's so hard for our people. Right. But I know that we have to let people know that we're still here and everything, but it's, I just like have so much hard time with that, but I do appreciate it. And I do feel great that they want to recognize work. And I've gotten some great contacts out there for some more work to happen with the electric school buses for the kids around tribal country. And, you know, this is turning into now a national, you know, effort around the charging stations and the electric bikes and the glow in the dark bike pass that we want to do in tribal country, and all the stuff that's happening. It's just been really crazy. And so I'm really getting some folks that are really excited to support this work. And I'm very appreciative of those foundations, such as the Basel's Earth Fund and others out there that want to help Solar Bear, Native Sun, implement all this stuff. So, thank you, Robert. I really do appreciate it.
It's amazing. You know, we don't talk about your brother a lot, but I know Bill would be busting his buttons if he were still with us, and I believe he is still with us.
It was Bill that, you know, I thought I was going to be a cop. I just thought I was going to be a cop. I thought I was going to be a cop like Bill. I thought that's what I was going to do with my life. And then, they were like, hey, Bob, we're going to hire you, but we don't have money right now. So you're going to have to just find something else to do for a while. And I went back to school and took a course on renewable energy and got hooked, and the rest is history. And I was like, I can't stop this. I don't want to be a cop anymore. I think there's other ways to help our people and consequently the planet. And I just felt like this was just a far more righteous cause to dedicate my life to. And so I'm so happy, though, Robert, to this day. Not that I wouldn't want to serve the people of Minneapolis and be a police officer, do the same things that my brother and my uncle and my cousin, Bob, Robert Thunder, out there right now, patrolling the streets of Minneapolis right now. You know, big shout out to him and for all the great work that he does. But, you know, I just love what I do. And I'm so happy, Robert, that I found this path in my life. And I'm so thankful to the Creator that he put this in front of me. So.
Yeah. Just think, I hired you for a weekend too, made you drive to Iowa and hand out t-shirts to people I didn't want you to hand them out to. And we had press passes, and
And what was yours? Key grip or best boy?
I was best boy, wasn't I? Oh, I thought I was best boy. I think I was best boy. I was like, yeah. We had such a good time though.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how, like, you know, the studio, like, we started this, like, you told me to come on in the studio. We're like, can you just talk about renewable energy and climate change and environmental justice? And I was like, okay. And we just won it, and it turned into, you know, and everybody just got interested now. And all of you, thank you for listening to the program and supporting all this, because it just has evolved over the years. It's been years now, Robert. And
yeah,
like, and just to see where, like, the solar industry has come, the renewable energy industry, and all this environmental justice work. And, you know, we were talking about all this stuff before it really, you know, I mean, it was happening, but it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? The way it is now.
It's, well, this is our eighth year, and you were on the first year. So
yeah. I can't believe. And Robert, which I think is a perfect segue into the brand new solar data sheet, Robert. This just came out, and this is put out by the Solar Energy Industry Association. I just want to give some statistics out there, Robert. There are 263,883 people across Turtle Island, right across the country, United States, right now, that are employed by the solar industry. And I think that's incredible. I remember when this thing was down in, like, the, you know, 90,000 range or something. Yeah. Like, I remember it wasn't a big deal.
And that was a big deal at 90,000.
Exactly. Today, over 6% of U.S. electricity comes from solar energy, almost six times its share a decade ago. A decade ago, Robert. This was 2 years. I mean, this is 2 years before, like, you know, the program started, we started doing this together. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how far this has come. I just think that's incredible. Number of businesses in the U.S., 10,000 plus businesses. So everyone, you know, your dollars do matter, and who you spend them with, and with those corporations that are switching to renewable energy, they need to lead the way. And we need to be able to spend our dollars at those places that are doing this. And just, let me just give you a few. Meta is number one. Amazon is number two. Apple is number three. Walmart is four. Microsoft is five. Target is six. Cargill is seven. Remember Cargill, everybody. That's going to come up in a future conversation. I'm just throwing that out there, everybody. Kaiser Permanente, AB Anheuser-Busch, and EVAS North America. So those are the top 10 corporate users of renewable energy. There is enough solar energy installed in the U.S. to power 36.1 million households. In 2023, a new solar project was installed every 39 seconds.
Yeah.
Every 39 seconds, everyone. Carbon emissions reduce 222 million metric tons annually, equivalent to 53 million vehicles off the road, 25 billion gallons of gas not used, everyone. So remember, the whole concept of the Electric Tribal Nation project, right, or the EV project, was to explain to the fossil fuel industry that, you know, they can build these pipelines, right? But, you know, they're going to win the battle, but they're not going to win the war, right? And this is a perfect example of this happening, because 25 billion gallons of gas is not used. 3.7 billion trees planted. This is the equivalent of shutting 57 coal-fired plants, Robert. In 2023, solar became the first renewable technology in 80 years to make up the majority of additions to the U.S. grid, accounting for 55% of all new generating capacity. This is remarkable how much this technology, Robert, has come down in price. This is on par with natural gas. And I mean, this is going to be the future for the country. And we can put solar everywhere. Anyone can learn how to do this. And that's the exciting thing. It's so democratic. And so that's why I love doing this work. And Robert, that is the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Crude and Dom.
Tune in Wednesday, very special Devils Advocates, Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, all in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'll take you there. Charles Franklin and Rebecca Cook, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and it really is a melting pot.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.